Welcome to 900 Ackland Avenue, the podcast for the Ackland Avenue Church of Christ. If you'd like to read more about our community, join us at https://ackland.org. Thank you for listening to our service, and God bless you.
Good morning. Open with a first verse of a song, Blessed Assurance. If you need it, it's on the back of the bulletin. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Good morning. Well, Matt asked me if I was going to sing the opening song, and I said, not happening. It's great to see you. What a bright, wonderful, cheery morning it is out there, and a little bit crisp. So it's just wonderful to see you all. I'm reading from Isaiah 50. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I turned my back to those who beat me, to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that we can be here to worship you. We're so grateful for this church. We're so grateful for this time together. We pray that you'll help us to worship and to live in accordance with your will. Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Good morning. Our psalm reading is from Psalm 118, the first two verses, and then once again at 19 through 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Pray with me, please. Thank you, Lord, for letting us come together as your church. Thank you for springtime and the energy that it gives us after a long winter. Thank you for the family that we have here at Aklan. Continue to bless us and keep Satan away as we continue to grow and to love and to serve you. And thank you for opening the doors that need to be opened for us to walk through to serve this community. We ask you, Lord, to be with our missionaries, both here and abroad. Excuse me. With Jason and Emily in Tanzania, with Lindsay here, and with Hiawatha, Byron, and Snezana in Guatemala. And we ask you also to continue to be with the Perdomos as they continue to mourn the loss of Manuel. We thank you that we can come to you and bring our sick and lift them up, and we ask you to be with the care teams of Stephen and Leanne and Debbie and Jimmy as they go through cancer treatment, and we thank you that Amy had great success there. Continue to be with her and her care team. We ask you to be with Stina as she continues to heal, and with Bonnie and Chuck and Rachel and Ari and my dad. We ask that you continually be with us as we serve those around us that are sick and are shut in, and help us to remember to reach out to those we don't see. Thank you, Lord, for the highs that we get, for Palm Sunday that is so triumphant and that gives us the energy of every day to be able to start with you and to say, we are your children and we love you and we are ready to serve you. But also be with us through the lows of Good Friday and help us to recognize that when it's not the day that we want, when it's the darkness that surrounds us or our weaknesses, that we come to you and we remember that it's because of your Son that we can stand before you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. And thank you for giving us your Son so that we can come to you in prayer. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
8:3, song after the lesson. Now to 365. 365. He's a lover of my soul. Let me hear thy bosom mine. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, I thee, O my Savior, I, till the storm of life is past.
Well, good morning, church family. It's good to see everybody today, and it is a big day with plenty going on. This is the Sunday every year that we have our Easter egg hunt for our elementary students and below. That will be after our class hour, so something definitely to look forward to then. We have the shower for Bodie and Hayden this afternoon that we're excited about. Also want to make note of a couple other things. Allie Church, who grew up here, she's here this morning, and she and several of her friends went on a mission trip over spring break. So if you get a chance to talk to them afterwards and hear more about that, I encourage you to do that. Also, Aaron and Linda Woods, their daughter Beth is here, and the wedding countdown is 20 days, you said, till she gets married. She's a graduate student at Boston University. We're thrilled to have her in town and prayerful for your upcoming wedding and everything. Plenty to look forward to. What we're gonna do this morning is we're gonna read the scripture. It's Palm Sunday. I'm gonna tell a story, and then Amazing Caroline helped me. We made signs yesterday for each day of the week, Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. And we're just going to kind of lay out the week and talk about it a little this morning. But excited to be with you. What was the other thing? Oh, yes, we're missing 12, 14 people who are at the prayer retreat this weekend up on Mont Eagle Mountain. So I can't wait to hear about it. Beth called me last night around 7:30 and she said, "I'm calling you now instead of later, because Ryan has told us the evening session is outside." And I was like, oh, he's gone rogue. He's taken him outside in the dark. So I can't wait to hear about what that was with the prayer retreat last night. But blessings on them as they travel back today. Stand with me, if you would, for our reading this morning. It comes from Mark 11. If you want to join with me in the bold section, feel free. One of the things you're going to notice is that the quotation there comes from the psalm that Melissa just read. Also, the word Hosanna means save us or please save us, and you'll see that refrain in the psalm as well, this idea of save us, please save us. So Jesus coming in to Jerusalem on this morning as the Savior. Mark 11, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here shortly." They went, if anyone asks you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted together, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So much of the gospel is devoted to the last week of Jesus' life. The Gospel of Mark has 16 chapters. This is chapter 11, and this is entering in the last week of Jesus' life. So 6 out of the 16 chapters on Jesus and Mark are about this last week. It's all set up that if you truly want to know who Jesus is, boy, that last week of his life is really going to tell you the story. And in the church calendar, Christians of all stripes around the world are thinking about this week, this rhythm of Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And it's an up and down journey. For everyone shouting Hosanna on Palm Sunday, but the shouts slowly diminish, slowly dim, and change to crucify him by Friday. And on Sunday, we have just a few women going to the tomb alone. And we ask ourselves, what happened in that week? And why did only a few hold on to the end? I'm going to tell you a silly but true story about how hard it is to kind of hold on when things get difficult. I've always been enamored by this, and it's going to involve some baseball. If baseball is not your thing, just kind of hang with me in the story. When I was a youth minister early on, fresh out of college, and I was in Manchester, Connecticut, the east side of Hartford, and up there, baseball is a big deal, and you're either a Red Sox fan or a Yankees fan. And I had a young boy in my youth group named Andy, and he was in a divided household. He had a very difficult childhood because his dad was a Red Sox fan and his mom was a Yankees fan. And so he had to choose. So as a child, his dad convinced him to be a Red Sox fan. Well, the Yankees were winning all the time and historically had won all the time. And the mom, every time the Yankees won, she would rub it in their faces and she would point at them and tease them. And she'd say, "Andy, you should have been a Yankees fan. I tried to get you to be a Yankees fan. You could have been winning like me." And she would tease him. Well, in 2003, Andy's in middle school and I'm his youth minister. And the Red Sox take the Yankees to the 7th game of the championship series. The winner goes to the World Series. And they had the game. If only they had taken a certain pitcher out and put another pitcher in. I won't get into the gory details. But they lost it. And we were devastated. And Andy's mom, Carol, is like, "Andy, you could become a Yankees fan. It's not too late. Be a Yankees fan." Well, the next year, I took all the boys up to see the Red Sox play that year. We waited outside the stadium, saw the players come out, and we were chanting with all the other throngs of people, "This is the year! This is the year!" And again, they played the Yankees in the American League Championship Series. If you don't know much about it, it's the best of 7, so the first team to win 4 gets it. And the Yankees won the first 3. And no team in history had ever come back from a 3-0 hole. And I remember Yankees won that 3rd game on a Saturday night, and on Sunday morning after church, we were kind of just visiting and shooting the breeze. And Andy looks at me, he's like 14 years old, and he looks at me, and he goes, I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. I'm going to become a Yankees fan. I said, Andy, don't do it. If they come back, it'll be the greatest thing that has ever happened in sports. Like, Andy, don't quit. He goes, I just can't do it. So he went home that day, and he told his dad, Dad, I can no longer root for the Red Sox. And he became a Yankees fan. And his mom bought him a shirt and a hat, dressed him up, took pictures, was showing everybody. Some of you know the history of where this is going. The Red Sox won game 5, won game 6. And then that week, at our midweek Bible study, the Red Sox are now down 3-2, but they were going to play that night. And me and all the other boys were around Andy, and we said, Andy, this is your last chance. If you come back now, okay, you can come back and bygones will be bygones. I won't preach about it 20 years from now. But I said, this is your last chance. And I said, they're going to win tonight, and they're going to win. Well, you watch it. It's going to happen. And he took a deep breath, and he says, I'm back. And he put the Red Sox jersey back on. And the Red Sox did win that night and the next night and won the World Series. And we've joked about that for years. Andy now has 3 kids of his own. And he's raising them in sports, all kinds of fun stuff. But we always joked about is how it's so hard to hang on. But if you don't hang on when really bad, you don't get to that really good part, right? And that's silly and trivial, and sports are not that important, okay? But it's just that example of when we think about this Easter week, I mean, everybody's chanting Hosanna, and then a few women named Mary are the only ones left the next Sunday morning. And how can we live into that example? Okay, so Caroline, you want to start us off? You help me make these signs. So we made these yesterday, and we just kind of want to map out the week, and I've talked to a few people as you're walking in, going to hold up these signs. So I have a sign for each day of the week. Some of these are the traditional names. Some of these are names I just came up with. Some of these are names I found on the internet. And we're just going to map it out like this. Okay, so Palm Sunday, Jesus twists all these metaphors. I mean, they anticipate that a coming king would come after a big battle and be on a big war horse. He's not on a big war horse. He's on a colt. And he would come bringing peace. That's what the palm branch represents. So it's kind of like the red carpet at the Oscars. They put the palm branches down, and he's on this green pathway into the city. And they are all chanting, except what battle did he fight to bring peace? And so you have this king, but he's a nonviolent king, and this is what we already see. It's a very different type of kingdom that is coming. And everyone's chanting, and everyone's excited, and this is the Messiah. This is the next David, right? And everyone's in on it. But that quickly changes. Where's Nathan Sternberg? I hollered at you as I came in. Nathan, you want to do this next sign for me? And I may ask for volunteers in a second because I didn't get to everybody. Things change quickly on Monday. Now, some of these I'm using a little license. The Gospels don't always tell us this is what happened on Monday, this is what happened on Tuesday. So we're kind of painting in broad strokes on some of these. But on, let's say, Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple. We've talked about this even recently. Because he goes into the temple, and he's like, this is not what it's supposed to be about. We're taking advantage of the poor. We've made it all about money. It's not about God. It's supposed to be about a heart of worship, but it's noisy, and it's commercial. It's nothing about what it's supposed to be. You are getting, people are trying to get to God, and you are getting them in their way. And he judges the temple. And he overturns tables, and he sends all the livestock out that have been sold for sacrifice. And one of the Gospels tells us at that point, they make plans to kill him. So we go from Hosanna to we got to find a way to kill him. One of the reasons that people can't hold on to the end is Jesus overturns our current structures of power. And when people come and they expect Jesus to validate their sense of power, and he doesn't, they get out. Now here's the difficulty. We're all sitting here thinking, Oh, I wish so-and-so would hear this message. I wish these people on the news would hear this message, and they certainly need to hear it. But guess what? I need to hear it too. And in a weird way that's hard to talk about in public, I have my power things too. And Jesus comes and he says, this is my house. This isn't our house. It isn't your house. We're not going to vote on it. It's my house. We're going to do it my way. And not everybody is on board with that plan. Mary Paul, do you want to do the next sign? I hollered at you. I say holler in the lovely sense. I wasn't yelling at people as they came in. Okay. So Tuesday, we're going to call this Testing Tuesday. Okay. And this is the day where Jesus is having all of these interactions and all these conversations with the religious leaders. He's talking a lot about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Now here's another reason why some people quit. Jesus exposes the areas in which we're fake. And do you have friends like this where you're like, I can get away with this with everybody, but I have this one friend that just sees through me and will just look at me and say, well, you think you're really smart, don't you? Or like, hey, I love you. You talk all the time. No, you don't actually follow through on everything you say. And I'm like, boy, everyone else thinks I do, right? Okay, so you have that one friend that sees through you. Jesus saw through the Pharisees. And to be clear, he loved them. He didn't hate them. But he saw through them. And he was like, you got to be more honest about what's going on. Not everybody wants that. Not everybody wants that level of vulnerability. And also, there are other people who looked at the Pharisees and were like, they're hypocritical. They're not what the faith should be about. I'm embarrassed by them. Therefore, I'm out. Let me be super honest for a second. How many conversations I've had the last 10 years? Some of you in this room, and some outside this room, who have said, I'm really struggling because I see these people wearing the name of Christ, doing utter nonsense. And it's embarrassing. And to be clear, it is embarrassing. But it's embarrassing. And I just don't associate. Like, I'm struggling to associate with the faith if that's what the faith is. And I get it. It's hard. And there were people in Jesus' day the same way. What does it mean to say, hey, we're going to have the uncle at the family reunion, right? But we're going to say, I'm not going to let the bad apples steal it from me. It's just not. And I'm going to differentiate myself to say, I identify with Christ. They identify with Christ. I have meaningful disagreements, meaningful criticism of what they're doing, but I'm going to stay with it. Also in Testing Tuesday, this is where we get them trying to stump Jesus. They were trying to test Jesus on taxes, the given to Caesar what is Caesar and to God's what is God's. This is also where the Sadducees were trying to stump him on marriage and the resurrection, the funny story about, you know, the woman that had seven husbands and who's her husband going to be at the resurrection, you know, those type of things, and they're trying to stump him. And they don't get the answers they want, so they walk away. And I may step on all of our toes when I say this. It's hard to stick with Jesus when Jesus says things we don't like. I do not like everything Jesus says. I do not like that I have to love my enemies. I don't like it. And yet Jesus commands it. There's this submission that comes with it, but there are days of the week, and sometimes it's literally a Tuesday, where I'm like, oh, I just don't know. Maybe if Jesus understood my situation, he wouldn't have said what he said. You know, and I try to find a way out of it. But this is what Jesus has said to us. And can we live into that? Clark, I think I talked to you. Kim, do you want to hold a sign for me? I hollered at you as you came in. You know, let's get down a little bit. We're going to do four on this side. We'll do four on the next side. Okay. I heard Wednesday titled Spy Wednesday once, and I just thought that was great. Okay. So Spy Wednesday is when, hold that up, okay? Big. You can stand up here if you want. We were all your height at one point, okay? So Spy Wednesday, this is when Judas goes undercover and decides to be a spy. Okay, well, I think, why did they need a spy? And there are different theories about this. Some think it's a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, that he was just very plain looking, and so some people really weren't sure what he looked like, because he didn't look like what you think of as the Messiah. Other people thought it's because the religious leaders wanted to get him at a certain time away from the crowds, and they weren't sure where he was going to be at night. And Judas knew exactly where he was going to be at night. This also talks about the spiritual realm, because the Gospel of Luke says at a certain point, Satan entered Judas, okay? And Judas went along with this because of his greed, okay? Satan's not just going to suddenly enter you unbeknownst to you, okay? But it's because he had given the, as my grandmother would say, he gave the devil a foothold, right, with his greed. And spiritual forces became a part of his very tragic decision. And he betrays Jesus for money. One of the Gospels tells us he'd been stealing money from them the whole time. Right, he kept the treasury for the apostles and would help himself to it and steal money out of it. But at this point, he's out. I mean, he's just out. He tries to hang on at the beginning, but at some point, he's just out. I don't know if you've ever watched like a documentary or movie about Navy SEALs when they do Navy SEALing, and you can quit at any point. If you've ever seen one of those documentaries, people will just tap out or ring the bell or raise their hand, and they're done. They can't go any further. And at this point, Judas taps out. Not only does he tap out, he joins the other side. This is dark and this is tragic. I have some people in my life, and I am not saying they are like Judas. I'm not saying Satan has entered them or anything. But they haven't just quit. They've gone to the other side. And they, by other side, I mean they're actively trying to deconvert people. Have you ever met people that are, you've met people that are evangelists, they're trying to get you to become Christian, but I have friends that are evangelistic about trying to convince people to not be Christians. And to be clear, I love them, we're friends, I don't want to be antagonistic, but it breaks my heart. Like, there's a way people get there. And this is, it's no small thing, this tragedy that happens here with Judas. Okay, and then this goes on to Thursday. Jack, do you want to hold my next one for me? Okay, we could call Thursday so many things. I've called it Supper Thursday. I may get critiqued at this later, okay? Passover Thursday, Last Supper Thursday. In some of the Christian calendars, you'll hear it referred to as Maundy Thursday, which is the Latin word for mandate or command. You might think of it as Command Thursday. And this is when Jesus washes the disciples' feet and he says, this is my command to you. This is my mandate. This is my mandi to you, that you would love one another. Think about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be at the top. And yet Jesus goes around and he washes their feet and he says, this is what I've called, not like the head table at the convention where we make all the decisions. That's not what I've called you into. This table is, are you willing to go out and serve every other person? And at this point, some of these folks have hung on because they're like, maybe I'll get a cabinet position in the kingdom. Maybe I'll get to be second in command or third in command. Maybe I'll get power. Maybe I'll get money. And at this moment, they find out to follow Jesus means being the biggest servant of all. Jesus takes the cup and he says, this is my blood. He takes the bread. He says, this is my body. He basically tells them, I am the Passover lamb, and just as Moses led the people out of slavery, I'm going to lead you out of slavery to sin. And out of slavery of trying to feel like you have to live by the structures of your society, whether that was Egypt, Rome, or even the United States and other world orders today. That's not the totality of what you're called to. I'm freeing you from thinking that's the ultimate measuring stick and that's your ultimate identity marker. And there's something else. And there's something more beautiful coming here. And this is what he calls him to. And of course, that leads to Friday. I have ran out of people. Larry coming off the bench here for the next sign. No sport. I've used all my sports metaphors. Yes, off the bench. Nice. Okay. So Cross Friday. Okay. Obviously, a lot of the church calendar for this is Good Friday, Passion Friday, different things. But when it gets to the cross, we realize Jesus was serious. Because what had he been telling them the whole time? Pick up your cross and follow me. Well, maybe he's just being figurative. You know, maybe it's just a story. No, this is where it was going the whole way. And we'll never completely understand this. We talk about the cross a lot, and we've talked about there's a lot of different views of the cross and why Jesus had to die. And yet, I think of it as a beautiful painting. We can try, but the purpose of the painting, but to be moved and to be changed. And that's what the cross is. And we see the cross, and God took the worst thing that could ever happen. How does it shape the end? And just at a very simple but very real level, this is how much God loves us. That God did not leave us to ourselves, but came to rescue us. This is the central message of Christianity. God loves you. God loves us. God loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us where we are, but wants to make us the best version of ourselves. This is the beauty of what God's done on the cross. Now, this to me is one of the most interesting days of the week. It's Saturday. Can I get another volunteer for Saturday? I promised Maisie the last day. Or did you want Saturday, Maisie? Come on up for Saturday, Maisie. And then Josephine, you want to do the next day? Okay. I'm very intrigued by Saturday, what many have called Silent Saturday. Because you can go up on this step here. Get you a little higher there so they see it. Awesome. Because there's nothing really in the Bible about Saturday. It's just quiet. And that's always, to me, one of the interesting days of Easter weekend. This is the day I like to go to the cemetery. I often will visit mother's grave on Saturday of Easter weekend. Because you get this sense that everything is kind of hanging in the balance. And you've had this momentous thing on Friday, but what's going to happen on Saturday or on Sunday? And you're in the middle there. And I just think so much of our life on this earth is Saturday. It's just quiet. And we're like, I think God's about to do something amazing, but God hasn't done it yet. There are people in this room who are waiting. There are people in this room who are waiting on God to resurrect a relationship. In this room, we're waiting on God to lift the depression. And we believe in a God that answers our prayers, and we believe it's going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. And that's the challenge of Saturday. One of the messages of this, though, is we are in Silent Saturday, but we're not alone. Like, we're together. We're together in the midst of this, and we're together in the midst of hope. And then Josephine, come up for this last one. Maisie and Caroline decorated this a bunch. Just a second. We'll get a stool here. You get up here for this. We have to make sure the resurrection's a big deal. Okay. And then it gets to the resurrection. Now, one of my favorite parts about this is the women that go to the tomb, several of them are named Mary, okay, which is the Greek way of saying the Hebrew word Miriam, who was Moses' sister at the original Passover. Passover meant, knew what freedom meant. It's living into this name. But as we conclude here, I just want to say, there was, but each day more, and you only had a few women. The apostles are home shut behind. And what happens that only a few are able to hang on? Now make it on the pew and go back to your early on in my ministry. And one of them I really liked, He would say, something be going on, he would be like, we just got to get to the next Sunday, and you just got to stick together. And I thought it was a place of safety, and it was a place of nurture. If I could just get to the next sermon on gender and trying, the elders, we'd just say, we just, and there were times I was just overwhelmed what's going on. I was like, if I can just get to the next. That's my call for you. That's my call for all of us. When we think of Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, I don't know what's going on. You're very intimidating to think, how can I get through my life? Break it up into smaller chunks. Just try to get Sunday to Sunday. And we'll be here. And God will be here. We'll just hang on together to Sunday. Let us together and sing.
Linda Zill today, so I'm take her place. One of my favorite stories is about the Campbells, Thomas Campbell and his son, Alexander Campbell, a minister in the Presbyterian Church, and began to realize that a lot of the church's decrees were not following the Bible, and he yearned for freedom to explore what the scriptures were saying. So in 1807, he immigrated to America. His son, Alexander, was still at the University of Glasgow. And there was a day on a Sunday when Alexander went to church to take communion. And the Campbells were among the elites. They had money, they had prestige, they had the titles. And Alexander, on this Sunday, as he was approaching the church, there was a lot of poor people around, and they were not allowed to go in to take communion because you had to have money. And you had to place the money in the tray, and then you could take communion. And the poor were left out. And Alexander looked at these people as he walked in the church. He took his seat, and then they started to pass the tray where you placed your coin in the tray, and then you took communion. And it hit him that this is not what the Bible teaches. And he took his coin, he gave it, and he stood up and he walked out, and then he wrote his dad and said, "I want to come to America. This is not right." And that was the start of the restoration movement. Jesus came for the Jews and the Gentiles, and that death and resurrection is for all of us. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your Son. And be with us, be with our hearts, that even in our sinful ways, in our impurity, we look to Jesus and we praise him and we thank him and we take this bread to remember his body. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Father in heaven, bless this cup. And as we drink, help us to remember the blood that Jesus shed that covers us every single day, every single moment. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
34. Hosanna.
In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him that is above every other name, that Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Being able to assemble together today, effort to worship you by a message from your word would give us strength to continue on, even when things are difficult, even when we become discouraged by who also came, or when we just don't get the answers for the questions that we're looking to sometimes. We're thankful for the way that you allow us to participate in your work here and in the good deeds that you do. Please be with us through this week, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So excited to be up here, church. I do events in the hotel industry, and you can tell you have a good event when you have a really good DJ. And I wanted to know if anybody knew who the DJ was in the Bible. It was Jesus, because he turned tables. It's good, huh? That's probably the best reaction I've ever gotten. All right, here's the next one. What does the Easter Bunny say before it eats? Lettuce pray, like tomato and lettuce. What? All right, so we'll talk about other good things. We've got a few birthdays this week. Our own J.P. Conway, Charlie Perkins. Is Charlie even here today? Charlie's not. He's going to need some love from afar. And then we got an anniversary with Paul and Val Peril. This Wednesday is our last contemplative worship service. Ryan Sullenberg not only hosting a retreat in the cold outside at night in the dark, but he also does Wednesday nights here. So multi-talented gentleman there. Today at 7 o'clock here, would love to see you guys here and to worship in a little bit different way. Mark your calendars for the Acklen Spring. Great opportunity. There's heard some rumors about some extremely awesome talents that are going to be. Let's talk about the coolest thing that I know. Got it right this time, Aiden. The wedding shower today at the Thorntons. It's this afternoon at 2 o'clock. It is co-ed, so you can. He probably needs a reminder to show up on time. He'll be there. All right. I heard after donuts, after class, after fellowship, that a few kids will celebrate that. Everybody but Clark. So, church, have I missed anything? Have some fun. Stay for class. All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to 900 Acklen Avenue, the podcast for the Acklen Avenue Church of Christ. If you'd like more information about our community, our church website is http://acklen.org. Thanks again for joining us. God bless.